Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. At the beginning of 2014, the Lord said to me, "The church must this year don glory." He had given me a revelation of the glory many years ago. And we're going to be playing for you now from CDs made all those many years ago of that message he gave me.
I want to start with the scripture that will be our theme scripture, and it's Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 25, the middle of the verse. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He loved the church and he gave himself for it. He cleansed it because it needed cleansing so that it could hold something. And the something that it's going to hold and manifest to the whole of creation is the glory of God. Can't hold it though if it's not clean. The middle of verse 25 again. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That for this purpose, this is the whole end purpose of the church, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This we call the church age is going to culminate with the offering of the church unto God himself, a glorious church filled with the glory of God. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose. It shall indeed be. We are God's inheritance. We are the Lord's portion. His inheritance, the glorious church, will indeed be glorious, absolutely filled with the glory of God. When we leave here, we're going to walk out of here, having proceeded from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. We're not going to be some little cursed few. You ever hear of that, the cursed few? The whole world cursing us and us just hanging on in a cave somewhere, barely able to make it? No. The plan of God is for the church to leave out of here in great victory, absolutely filled with this marvelous substance, God's glory. That means, and the Old Testament says it, we'll get to it before the end of the week, every whit of the temple will be uttering God's glory. You're a whit of the temple. Bless the Lord. Now, I worked at Kenneth Hagin Ministries for over 9 years. And during that time, I taught every Sunday in a local church. 8 of those years, God was teaching me about the glory of God and the glorious church. And I would teach the class every Sunday morning. It took him a while to get this over to me. But then there came the day when it began to soak down in me just a little bit, and God asked me then to leave Kenneth Hagin Ministries, and he gave me this as the message to preach. And he said to me, when he had to kick me out from Kenneth Hagin Ministries, because I wanted to leave in a way I didn't want to leave. And one morning he waked me up at 4:30 one morning, and he said, "The church is approaching its finest hour. It will fulfill its ministry." Isn't that good news? Sometimes it doesn't look like it, but it's going to. But it must be preached to as though it would succeed and not as though it would fail.
Hallelujah.
And then he said, "If you go out and you preach this message I've been slowly teaching you for 8 years, it will have something to do, as you preach the word, with my being able to change the church from glory to glory." Just my part, wherever I go. He's got lots of others going. But you can, if you'll come this week, you can be changed. You can be changed to another degree of glory. And you're going to see that there are degrees of it. Now, the book of Ephesians is the book of glory. It's the book about the church, and it's the book of the glory of God. It tells us we're going to be that glorious church. Now, look back in it just a little bit with me. The job of the church. We'll just look at this. The job of the church. Ephesians 3:21. We're quickly going to look at these and spend more time later. Ephesians 3:21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. And how long is that our job? Throughout all ages. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Throughout every age that's coming, and they're coming, and they're coming, and they're coming, and we're going to live billions and billions and billions and billions of years. If they have years. Which they don't. But our job during that time will be to be this elect creature, the church, giving God eternal glory. That's why Satan's fought us. He doesn't like it. Hallelujah. So it's not unusual. And turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 now. That in this book, God identifies himself by a name. Wherever he calls himself by a name, in any passage, it means something there. And we see here in Ephesians chapter 1 that God calls himself to us, Ephesians 1 verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Woo! The Father of glory. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ is going to speak to us in this book about being the glorious church, and he tells us off the bat, it's all in me. I'm the Father of glory. You're not going to get it apart from him. This particular passage right here in Ephesians 1 is a prayer Paul's praying. And he's praying this for the church at Ephesus. It's a Holy Ghost anointed prayer to be prayed for us. And Paul prays for three specific things for that early church, the church at Ephesus. He said in verse 16, I never stop praying for you. You talk about prayer. Paul was a man of prayer. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that. And here's what I'm praying for you, church at Ephesus. This isn't just a pretty little piece of words put together. This is what God wants. Paul prayed, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul said, you're a good church, you're doing good. Now, I want God, the God of glory, to give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. They're already saved, they're already filled with the Holy Ghost. But Paul says, boy, there's something you sure need revelation on. And you're not going to get it without the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know, God can hide things from you, and I think he's had to hide so much from us, we just couldn't take it. But we're a 2,000-year-old church approaching leaving here, and we should be able to understand some things. Paul's prayers should be fulfilled now. He said, I'm praying for you that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would be given unto you, because there's three things you surely need to know. You're only going to get it through wisdom and revelation from God and by the Spirit of God. You'll never know these three things with just intellectual prowess. Number one, here's the first thing I want you to know. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. That number one, you may know what is the hope of his calling. Number one, I want you to know what is the hope of his calling. Number two, Paul says you need to know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We're God's portion. We're his inheritance. And he talks about it's a glory to him. And number three, you should know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. And then he goes on to tell us that it's resurrection power. Now, all three of these things we need to know, the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, all of them have to do with glory. You can see that it says it right there in the middle when it says, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Resurrection power, of course, has to do with glory, because we're told in Romans that Jesus was raised by the glory of the Father. The Father of glory has a call on you. What is it? To understand this, and to understand the plans and the purposes of God, we're going to have to go right back to that place that we so often have to go back to. In order to see the glorious church and its glorious future, we're going to have to go back to that place called the beginning for man. So I want you to travel back with me now to this great God of glory. Actually, he has no beginning. But we know about this great God of glory that he is, by trade, a creator. He created heaven, a real place, and earth, and all that is, he created. He created it the only way he knows to create anything, and that is, he's a God of glory, and he creates things gloriously. When he created heaven and populated it with those marvelous creatures called angels, he created them gloriously. As far as I can tell, angels don't have babies. They were each one spoken by God, first a thought in God, and then a spoken word, and there they came. Each one so glorious, magnificent, and marvelous. And of course, we know the names of three archangels, three glorious archangels. We know Michael, we know Gabriel, and we know the one called Lucifer. And when God created him, he created him too, the only way God knows how to create, and that is gloriously. I used to wonder why. Why did God make the devil? I never would say it. I was a little girl brought up in church, and I wouldn't dare to tell my mother I was wondering things like that. But I said, why did God make the devil anyway? Didn't he know he was going to give me all this trouble? The truth is, God never made a devil. God made glorious angels. Lucifer made a devil out of himself. God created each angel with something in them that makes you able to be a glorious creature. Without this thing, you would not be a glorious creature. You would be a puppet. You would be a robot. God is not the creator of robots, not the creator of puppets. He's the creator of glorious creatures who will work through with him throughout eternity future. And when he created them, he knew all about eternity future. He doesn't have just short-range programs. And he needed his creation to be a glorious one. And in order to be a glorious creature, you must have a thing in you called a will. I don't know where it is, but I know what it is. It's a chooser. And without a will, without a chooser, you would be a robot.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim again, and you've been hearing a classic message that came many years ago of a revelation of the glory of God. We do have this series from those days on a CD in a 5-CD package that we will be glad to send you for $20. Just call us at 417-336-4877 or 1-800-972-3447 and request the classic A Glorious Church.